I'm trying to learn to travel light, because it is a delight to travel light, but I wonder, why don't I travel light? Why don't I put the baggage down? You say, what is that baggage? Well, what about the baggage of my past? You know, what can I do with the baggage of my past? Well, somewhere along the way, we have to just figure out, we're going to have to do the same thing Paul did. We're going to have to forget it. He said in Philippians 3, 12 and following, he said, I have not already attained. I've not already been made perfect, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. He said, brother, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind in the past and reaching forth unto those things which are before or ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He had to put some things behind him. There are some accolades, some accomplishments. He had to put those things behind him. There's also some activities he had to put behind him, like holding the clothes of those who stoned the martyr Stephen and other things. The Bible says in Acts 26, 9, that were contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He had to put those things behind him, and that's pretty hard to do, to put the past behind. But you know, God will put it behind us and him as far as the east is from the west. But why don't we? And then there are people. Very difficult people, the baggage of very difficult people. You feel the sting in your back right now where they stabbed you in the back. A lot of times people will try to build themselves up by tearing you down. And somehow they get a joy out of that and a strength out of that, maybe for a little while. You feel that sting. I know you do. And what do you do with difficult people? Well, the only thing we can derive from Scripture is we need to forgive them. To forgive them. Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, he said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, or because of Christ, through Christ, he has forgiven you. There were these two boys born the same time. Their mothers knew each other. They were friends. We'll call one the Williams boy and the other the Jones boy. And they were in the doctor's office. They were in different examining rooms, but they overheard the doctor say, you know, the Williams boy is smarter than the Jones boy. And that stayed with those boys and their mothers for years. Those boys became rivals. One of them became a doctor and one became a lawyer. And one day, and I'm making the story very short, they met with pistols in their hands. And they had a duel, and the Williams boy shot the Jones boy, but as he was falling, he also shot the Williams boy, and they both slumped to their death, and the mothers were bitter at each other. They had been bitter, and now it's just even more bitterness for years. But the Williams boy's mother, one day she said, I'm going to plant some roses by the Jones boy's grave. And she told the Jones boy's mom, and she said, I want you to think about doing the same. And they wept as they planted those flowers on their boys' graves, and they forgave each other. But what a price, what a price that baggage is. What a high cost. And then what about the baggage of the present? The baggage that persists. You know which one it is. It's just persistent. It's perplexing. It's problematic to my life. It is there. It's with me today. It's, you know, this baggage that somehow just keeps showing up. It just will not go. It somehow just will not go away. Oh, no. Well, what is it? Lying, lust, bad language, a seared conscience, a sour, sorry attitude, sinful actions, sickening appetites. What is it? Addiction of all sorts that has enslaved me? What is it? A bag that just will not go away. It's persistent. You know, what do you do with the baggage that is persistent? Well, here's what Paul did. He revealed it. And you've already heard that alluded to a couple of times this morning in Romans, the 7th chapter, in the 15th verse. In the New Living Translation, Paul said it this way. He said, you know, I don't understand myself. I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing that I hate. As Frank said, we're glad that's in there, because one of the greatest men, one of the most spiritual men, but he revealed his baggage. Here's a struggle. And he revealed it for all of us. And so when we begin to reveal our baggage, then we can heal from our baggage. So the revealing process helps us, but it's painful. You know, when we begin to reveal the baggage, that's when we start to see what this bag is doing to us. It begins to take us on a downward cycle. You know, we're just in that cycle of destruction, getting deeper and deeper in the hole. And as a matter of fact, it starts out like this. I begin to be identified by my baggage. And how did he know that was my baggage? Out of all of you, he brought it to me. But I begin to become identified by my baggage. And, you know, I guess I start to buy into that, well, that's just me. And that'll always be me. But the Bible tells us that is really a lie. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, the Bible says that if you're in Christ, you know, anyone in Christ, it's a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the Bible speaks in liberating terms and terms of freedom. And yet I'm still holding on to the baggage. When you begin to look and see that the Lord wants us to be free, and he has worked on our behalf to set us free, and he came into this world to set us free. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 10, he came into the world, and really the world was made by him or through him, and the world did not receive him. He came to his own things, his own place, his own creation, and his own people did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the right to become sons of God. Just imagine that for a moment. I had an aunt who talked to me. She's still alive. And she said, I want to tell you a little bit about your mother and about her family back a long, long time ago, back in the history. She said, I want you to take your daughter and your wife and go to Richmond, Virginia, and I want you to go to a museum there called the Valentine Museum. She said, I want you to read about the history of Richmond through that family. And so I did. But when I was there, I started to understand what she was trying to do. She was trying to get me to think differently, trying to get me to have a different perspective, not to just look at an alcoholic father, not to look just at a sharecropper beginning, but to look beyond that. But you know what Jesus did when he came down here? He was trying to get us to look far, far beyond just some folks in your background, ancient history, that might have done some things in this world. But he was trying to get us to see what he has done for us. When we're in Christ, we have a new Father. And in Christ, we have a forever Father. And in Christ, we have a Father who never turns his back upon you and who will never leave you and who will never forsake you. He's always there. Sister Street lost her sister last night, Mrs. Black. And Elizabeth told us last night, she said, you know, I've been a widow for 52 years, without my husband for 52 years. But she said, I have never one day felt alone because of her faith in her forever Father who steps in even when life brings a great load upon you. And there he steps in. So it is. You know the old illustration, perhaps you've heard it before, maybe you've read the story of Max Jukes' family and Jonathan Edwards' family. They both lived in New York. They both have a long lineage that has followed them. But Max was not a believer, and he didn't want his children to be taught the Bible, even though they wanted to go to Sunday school, and they wanted to go to Bible class, and they wanted to learn about Jesus. But he prevented them. Look at the story as it unfolds. 1,026 descendants, 300 in prison, an average of 13 length years of sentence, 190 public prostitutes, 680 admitted alcoholics, and the cost to the state, $420,000. That's just a number. Who knows what the number would really be. Jonathan Edwards, as you know, he believed that the Bible was God's word. He wanted his children taught the Bible. He went around preaching. 929 descendants. Look what happened. 430 ministers. 86 university presidents. 75 authored good books. And 5 elected to U.S. Congress and 2 to Senate. 1 vice president. And on this particular illustration, not a red cent from the public coffers. What do you believe about yourself? In Christ, you are somebody. And there are no limitations placed upon you as far as fulfilling His purpose for your life. But what do you believe about yourself? So when we begin to reveal this baggage, we start to learn that there's this downward cycle, that this is pulling us down. And we begin to just identify with it, and we begin to lose hope that we can ever change. And then we become defensive and say, well, what baggage? What do you mean I have baggage? And we try to cover up. We try to pretend it's not there, put it way out of our thoughts, and yet it's still there. And we become enslaved to it. It is our boss. This baggage is our boss. It weights us down, and we have to consider it in every decision, whether we're cognitive of it or not. It's there, you see. It's always our boss. And finally, it takes our life. And here's what happens. I was telling a young person this the other day. You can prophesy into your life destruction. You really can. It can happen just like this. You know, God promises freedom and He'll set you free and you can do all things and on. You know the great promises, 7,500 of them. Elizabeth told me last night, she said, I believe in God's promises. Or you can say, well, that's for other people, but it's not for me and not for our folks. Somewhere in this line of Max Jukes, most were buying into that story somehow. That's just the way we are. You can buy into that, or you can buy in the promises of God. But here you can prophesy into your life that we are in that downward cycle of destruction. The story of your life has not been written, but yet the conclusion has already been found. You're going to wind up like that, not going to break the cycle. But that's not what Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 12. He tells us that we should not let sin, lust, and desire, and all these things, we should not let that control the way we live our life. We don't need to let sin be our master. Look at those statements. Don't go on presenting your members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness. He says in the New Living Translation, don't let any part of your body be used as an instrument for sin in evil. What should you do? Instead, give yourself completely to God. Don't let sin be the master over you. Live under the grace of God, under the freedom that He came here to give. Oh, I think it's marvelous to begin to think about how amazing God's powerful word is when He wants to set us free. But what about you this morning? Does your family recognize you have this baggage, your friends? Are you always building your schedule around it? You have to think of it in your scheduling. Are you trying to keep it a secret? The first thing we have to do in order to heal is to reveal. So reveal the baggage leads to releasing the baggage, to being able to let it go. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, God is the Spirit, and where there's the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty or freedom. And He wants to set us free. He wants to help direct that process in our life. And you say, well, why did Jesus even come down here, Galatians 5 and 1, to set us free, to give us liberty? In John 3 and 16, the most quoted verse in the Bible about God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. But why did He give His only begotten Son? To condemn us of our sins? Not at all. He said in the next verse, He came not to condemn. He came so that we might be saved. That's His whole purpose in coming, to set us free. So one person suggested this idea. I thought it was a good one. How can we realize that God is not just the God of Paul and of His people in the past, but He's also the God of today and of His people right now? And He's the God who wants to set you free. How can we realize that? Well, we have to first can the excuses. You know, here I am, and I could blame my father. But really, who could you blame? And I don't know everyone's story, but who could you blame? Who have you been blaming? We could play the blame game. We began that back at the start of the series. We could play the blame game. But God looks at it differently. He says, no, you're responsible. When you look at the word responsibility, I have the ability to respond. Where there's a stimuli, one author wrote, he said, in between the stimuli and the response, there's a space. And in that space, I make a choice. So I'm responsible. And somewhere along the way in the lineage of a family, someone has to say, wait a minute, I'm responsible. We're not blaming anyone else. We forgive everyone else. We forget the past and we reach forward unto the glorious future with our Father by faith. See? So we have to can the excuses. I was reading, or actually watching, the old movie Dr. Zhivago. And the setting is 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution. The Reds are fighting against the Whites. If you recall some of that history, and the purge is beginning. That purge will not end until 60 million of their own citizens are slaughtered. You think what man can do to man. But it's in that setting, Dr. Zhivago, his wife and his child get on a train. 50 people or more are herded into this train car like cattle, and they're headed for Vladivostok. They're trying to escape some of the violence. But in that car, there's a prisoner, and he's chained. But I'll never forget seeing him shake those chains at everyone on that train car. And he said, "I'm the only free man on this train." And he was right. Because of that response ability, we have the ability to respond. He might have been in chains, but he was free. How many of us are chained to baggage? Jesus gave a great invitation, and I think in his public ministry, what he was saying to people is, "Come and be in my family. Come and let my Father be your Father. Come and have fellowship with us in the family. Come by faith, believing that God will through me save you and let you be a part of our family." I think he was saying, "Come and be free." The scripture setting's Luke 14, and there Jesus is talking about a great man who had a great supper prepared. And he made that supper, and he invited many to come, and he sent his servants out at supper time saying, "Come, everything's ready." But you know what they began to do? They began to make excuses. And the first one spoke about the piece of land that he had bought, and he needed to go, and he needed to see it and look it over, maybe walk about that land. He said, "May I be excused?" The second said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go try them out. I need to go test them. May I be excused?" The third one, "I have married a wife. I can't come." They began those excuses. And really, that's where we get enshackled by the baggage, making those excuses. Someone also suggested we need to cut the ties. Cut the ties. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that evil companions or evil company will corrupt good morals or habits. The very first phrase in that passage, God doesn't want us to be deceived. There are some relationships we have to cut ties with. Young people know that. There are some relationships that will drag you down in this spiral of destruction. We have to cut some relationships. We have to make some decisions. The Bible says in James 4 and 7 that we have to submit to the Lord and we have to resist the devil. That brings us into the picture. We're responsible. We don't blame anyone else. Cut some ties. And cleanse the vessel. You come by faith to Christ, penitent, sorry for sin, but realizing that you can be buried with Christ and that old person will die, but a new person will live, and you get a brand new start. And then, in reality, every single day we get a brand new start in the blood of Christ. Those Greek scholars, I never will forget when they first taught me that phrase about keep on, continual action. The blood of Christ keeps on cleansing you. Not as you walk in perfection, because there'd be no need for the continual cleansing of Christ's blood in perfection. But as you walk in faith, trusting Him to strengthen you, to live through you. So as we come and narrow it down, we see this last one. And that is that we have to close the void. In order to close that void, we have to realize that someone needs to fill up the empty place. So the Bible tells us about God's Spirit. And He says in Ephesians 3 and 18, don't be drunk with wine. And I know one individual mentioned, and I thought it was very appropriate. He said, fill in your baggage right there. Don't be filled up with that baggage. It leads to dissipation. It leads to debauchery. It leads to destruction. But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with God Himself. And there's a powerful process, I think, by which you can practically fill this void. You can close up the void and fill this empty place. And the first is with the Word of God, His message. And His message is one of I can do rather than I can't do. How many times you repeat to yourself, I can't do it, I can't do it. And He says you can do everything through Christ who strengthens you. How many times this week are you going to say, I can do? No excuses. I'm responsible and I can do. Greater is He that's in me than he's in the world. This book, that's what it's about. The devil's about destruction and enslavement. Christ is about freedom and knowledge and the gift of God Himself into your life. And so be filled with the Word of God, His message. Be also filled with the worship of God. See His majesty. Every time we come and gather at the table, there's that invitation for you to come. Scott sang that invitation a little while ago. Come, share. And Jesus, while He was here on earth, that's what He was saying. Come to my Father's banquet. You're a part. You can be a part. Come. But you know, so many still holding on. Holding on. Come, share the Lord. Come. You see, also be filled with the work of God, His ministry. The Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 21, don't be overcome with evil. Well, how can you overcome evil? With good. With the ministry. Every member a minister. You see, Jesus is the answer. They loaded this one down. Because they knew my bag was heavy. Maybe it'll stay there. Who will decide it? Who will? You're right. Is there one this morning you'll be united with Christ in baptism? Is there one who needs the prayers of the church? This is your family. They love you. They will pray with you and for you. While we stand, bless God.